Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Speaking of Embajador Tequila, this is that time of week where we bring in our good friend from Embajador Tequila, Les Kekahuna. Our good friend.
What's up, Vinny?
Les, how are you, doing? My good friend? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad to be here. Man, on your show. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and likewise. And we do this every week, and we love talking to Les about football, sports, everything under the sun. And Les, I got to ask you, the Suns tonight have a chance to go up 2-0 against the Milwaukee Bucks, take a decisive lead in the NBA Finals. What do you think tonight with Phoenix? And does Giannis Giannis and the Bucks respond and try to get this thing even?
I think they will, man. I mean, you know, I'm not a Milwaukee Bucks fan. I'm not, you know, a Suns fan. So I'm not like, it's not that I'm just choosing them to be, you know, to win. But I think they will. I think they'll make the adjustments that they need to. You know, Giannis is a veteran, man. I think they know how important it is to not go down 2-0. You know, it's a lot more tough to come out of that, you know, versus 1-1 going home. So I think it might surprise people. I think it should be.
Les,
I pick a team. I'd go with Milwaukee.
You know, when you look at this NBA Finals, it's so interesting to me. Normally, when you get to the finals, it's two teams that you can see being there for a few years to come. Remember when the Golden State Warriors were rolling? Right. You can see that they're going to be around for a little while. When the Lakers were doing their thing, they're always around, you know, for a little while. I could look at the Brooklyn Nets, and, you know, maybe they could be in the picture here for a little while. But when I look at Milwaukee and I look at the Phoenix Suns, I see two teams that, you know, I'm not going to say they were lucky to get there, because I'm a firm believer, last man standing, last team standing, you earn it, and you've earned your spot here. But I don't necessarily think of them as teams that are going to be perennially knocking on the door of the championship. So when you think of it from that perspective, how important is it for either of these two teams to take advantage of this opportunity ahead of them to be able to hang a banner?
Well, getting to the championship is really hard. You know that. You covered the Lakers for many years, and, you know, Laker fans are spoiled, you know, because, you know, we seem to always be in the mix of a championship team. But it's really hard to get back, you know, in the championship. It's tough. So, I mean, I saw Milwaukee was always there. You know, like, if you think about it, the last couple of years, they were at least expected to be there. And then, you know, this is the year that they weren't expected to be there, and they made it. Do you see it that way or no?
Giannis
was the MVP and everyone was high on them, and then, you know, injuries and some matchups, it hurt them, I guess, in the playoffs, and they didn't make it. Yeah, but I expected them. Phoenix, I didn't expect that. You know, I thought they had a really good young team. It helped to have CP3 there, and he brought their veteran leadership and whatnot. But, you know, I didn't think they were going to be that, you know, be this successful. But good for them, man. I really am happy for them.
Yeah, you know, likewise.
New teams, man.
I think Chris Paul gets it done. I think Chris Paul puts that cherry on top of his career. He got here, you know, and is it a surprise? Absolutely. Does he deserve it because of all the years that he's put in? I think so. This is kind of a career achievement award for Chris Paul, and it'd be nice to see him get a championship. And it's kind of ironic that it's not going to be in a Clippers uniform, but oh well, that's the way it goes sometimes. By the way, and we're talking to Les Kekahuna from Embajador Tequila. Just to remind everybody, speaking of Embajador Tequila, Salud Mexican Bistro and Tequileria over at 8125 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 110 here in Las Vegas. Every Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m., it's Latin party brunch time. Live music, dancing, great food and drinks, including, obviously, Embajador Tequila. This week, they're featuring Latin percussion sounds by Las Vegas' own Steve Weiss from Zumanity, Recycled Percussion, and Broadway's Stomp. So that is Sunday, 1 to 5 p.m., over at Salud Mexican Bistro. Give it a shot if you can, because it's great food, great music, and, of course, when you've got Embajador Tequila nearby, it's always going to be great drinks as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Les, so, you know, we've been talking a lot today about, you know, is this Raiders defense ready to take a step in the right direction and be a viable complement to what looks to be another powerful top 10-ish NFL offense? That's been the question of the day. And, you know, I look at some of these forecasters and projections, and it looks like the Raiders are slotted for some reason right around 7.5, 8 wins. That's the projection of the Raiders. I think that's way too low. I think this team has a chance to be 11-win team. That's the way I see it. But when you look at that number, that 7.5 for win projection for the Raiders, how does that sit with Les?
Whoever came up with that number, maybe they should fire him. Well, I think the Raiders are going to win. Like you said, I looked at their schedule. I could see, you know, a 12-win season. I really do. I looked at their, you know, it's tough. Divisional games are always tough, right, because they play each other every year. So it's hard to say we'll sweep any of them. That probably might be a split, you know, 3 losses, you know, possibly. And probably, I would say in the schedule, it looks like the toughest, well, not the toughest, where it looks tough is when we play Dallas on Thanksgiving, and then the following week we play Washington at home. Washington is a tough team. You know, like their defensive front is, oh, man, they give people problems. And then the week after that, we go to the Chiefs, and then we go to the Browns. If we can kind of get through those, I think that 4 weeks right there, I think that's probably going to be like our gauntlet of, you know, like, man, do we come out of that hurt? Or, you know, if we can win those games, or the majority of those, that I think that'll set us into the right direction. Based on that last year, if you look at it, right, last year, you know, an 11-win team made it to the playoffs as a wild card, but because there's an extra game, I would say if you win 12, you're in the playoffs. 13, you probably win the division, but, you know, with Casey, you know, they're probably going to win a lot of games too. But, yeah, if we can win 12, we'll be in the playoffs. And I think for sure we can win over 7 games, for sure. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see that being a problem. And it's really based on injuries too. Let's just see if we're healthy, you know, because that's always the biggest part of it. You can't be healthy, man. It's tough to win games. And there's really no easy game in the NFL, right? Because every game's tough. Everyone's good. But I could see us winning double-digit wins, yeah, for sure.
We're talking to Les Kekahuna from Embajador Tequila, our great sponsor here at Raider Nation Radio in the Huddle, 9:20 a.m. Every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Les, you know football, and you know what goes into winning and the recipe that's needed and all the parts and ingredients that are needed to win and win at a high level. Obviously, you have to have a good quarterback first and foremost. That's, you know, if you don't, you're lost,
yeah.
Period.
It's tough, and it's really tough.
I frankly think that the Raiders have a good enough quarterback to get far in Derek Carr. I truly believe that. And I say that, Les, because I was in Los Angeles when Jared Goff, who I think is a good quarterback, not necessarily a great quarterback, but a good quarterback, was able to steer his team to a Super Bowl. There were times where he carried the team on his shoulders. There was a times where he kind of managed games. But he did. He played well enough to get a team to the Super Bowl and almost won the Super Bowl. I look at Jimmy Garoppolo from the San Francisco 49ers, a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and frankly somebody that I think Derek Carr is better than. He's a superior quarterback to Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Jimmy Garoppolo helped get his team to the Super Bowl. So when I look at Derek Carr, I don't think there's any reason, there's no reason that I can tell that he can't, with a good team around him, get the Raiders where they need to go. Where do you fall on Derek Carr and his viability as somebody that can get the Raiders to the Super Bowl if need be?
I think he can. I believe he can, and I know he can. And if you look at, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think based on the QBR rating, right, and his numbers, right, and so he was ranked, I think, 11th at the end of last season. And the quarterbacks ahead of him, they were all Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, right? And, he was right there with them. So as far as his numbers and what he puts up, I think he's very well capable of getting us to the championship game. In fact, I anticipate us getting that far. And, I'm a Raider fan, but I'm just being realistic. I really believe that we're going to surprise a lot of people this season. And if we can stay healthy, man, and we're going to be tough to beat. I believe that. And I think week one, we're going to be tough, man. We'll play against the Ravens and we'll get to see how everyone responds, in week one. And I think, I really, really believe Derek Carr can get us there to the championship. I truly believe that. And now that he has a defense and, to get him the ball back, that helps instead of chasing the other team's score. It's going to be nice maybe to get some turnovers, giving him more possessions and maybe being ahead most of the time now this season. And, the play calls all change a lot when you're in front versus when you're chasing the team, right, playing from behind.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that when you have a better defense, and I could point to so many times last year, Les, where you could tell John Gruden's play calling was not just to score points, obviously that's the goal, but it was also to work around a defense that maybe there wasn't a whole lot of confidence in. It changes you as a play caller when you know that you have a defense.
Right.
You're not worried about. So we'll see.
We'll see. I think, man, I'm really, really excited this season. I can't wait to watch Derek Carr, lead this team, man. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. I really believe that. And last year, a lot of the losses that we had, we were in there, besides, like, Atlanta on games like that. But you're going to have those games, man. There's going to be some games where you just, like, man, it's just not our day, it's the NFL.
Right.
But for the most part, he always had us in the game, and it was him. It was because he was able to keep us in these games, and now with a better defense, and getting off the field and getting more possessions and getting maybe some turnovers and putting us in better field position, right? To start drives, like versus starting at your own 15, 20-yard line, now you're starting at midfield, your play calls change too, so. I'm excited, man, and I think Derek Carr really is a quarterback that can get us there. He's up there with all the top quarterbacks in NFL, to me.
Yeah, and I think that he's getting better, and if he can continue to get better, but more importantly, if the team around him can continue to get better, then it changes things here in Las Vegas. Les, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, and keep up the great work, and thanks for everything you guys do over at Embajador Tequila.
Man, thank you, Vinny. Thank you for having me on your show. Really appreciate the opportunity, and have a great day.
You got it, man. That's Les Quecohuna from Embajador Tequila, our great sponsor, and we're always happy to talk to him. He knows his football. Huge part of the Polynesian bowl game every year, and he'll go to a lot of these events, the Polynesian showcase events for top high school players, and he'll text me pictures. Man, it's just endless amounts of great players that are coming up through the pipeline, and they graduate to college, they graduate to the NFL, and we see him all the time, and he's got some great stories about some of the great guys that he knows from that community, and their impact on football right now is just going through the roof. It just continues to grow and grow and grow. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Absolutely. I think it started, at the start of OTAs all the way to now. And when he means building trust, he means It's that guy to the left of you giving all his effort. It's the guy to the right of you giving all his effort. When you see that on tape and you see guys going 100% for each other, that builds trust right there. You knowing that, all right, I might have to hammer this block, but I messed up. I know my nose tackle's coming right back around and come help me make the play. It's just all about effort-based defense. That's what we preach, and that's what I love. I love guys that run to the ball. Coach Bradley loves guys that run to the ball, and that all that builds trust.
Kind of a different tone I felt in these OTAs. And granted, there were no OTAs last year, but just a different tone in how things are being articulated, expressed on the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders. Some new faces, obviously, that was Yannick Ngakoue talking about building trust and knowing that the guy next to you is going to be where he needs to be or pick up for you. If you make a mistake or if you lose your battle, that you, the guy next to you has got your back and can help compensate for it. You know, the talk of guys, you know, bringing this type of stuff up and making it a priority and making it a focal point, I think is one of the steps toward the road to recovery for this Raiders defense. And I don't think that they're that far off from a talent standpoint. I truly don't. I think there's some players that are going to between the newcomers, between guys that are holdovers, some of the young players. I think the talent is sufficient enough. It needs to come together in other ways, and that's trust and chemistry, being on the same page, better coaching. And I think that it's on the horizon. It's there. It can happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And if it does, like we keep talking about, the whole narrative is going to change. Mark my word. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line, listener line. Jerome wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Jerome?
Hey, pretty good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, yeah. Brother.
I'm going to get out of here with a little history lesson on the Raiders. 50-year plus Raiders fan. Watched pretty much every game, every play. Now, what I noticed from the beginning, and also why I became a Raiders fan, is that the Raiders have like three opponents every game. They have the other team, your pistol team, and himself. Still, the Raiders won most of the games because they knew how to make the game clock work for them. You know, score with not enough time left for the other team to score. The officials have always let the other team do anything they wanted to do after any Raiders score without any penalty. You know, especially holding. Now, look back over the years, you'll see that it's not always bad defense. That the Raiders, if they have a bad offense, the defense is like top five. And when the offense is good, we can't stop anybody. I mean, because let me tell you that some teams know this and some teams don't. You know, holding is okay, do whatever you want. Sometimes pass interference and personal fouls. Now, the Raiders defense, the best one is a 3-4. Because Chase really hold a linebacker because they're out in the open air as much as the line. Now, and as new defensive coordinator from L.A., I got my doubts because they had me to come back last year as the Raiders did. Now, yeah, Derek Carr, he should be sending them games too. I've seen overthrow on the ball over his zone, out of bounds, and on side, and even that Chiefs game. The last play, if he had thrown that ball about 15 yards further, it would have been a 50-50 ball at most, and maybe we'd be scored. The ball gets intercepted back there. You know, but I'm just saying that, you know, somebody, you know, you got to go for it. You don't see them on go for it sometimes.
Yeah. Jerome, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. No doubt the Raiders have – it's been elusive for them in terms of building a complete team. Jerome just brought it up. Sometimes when they've been really good offensively, they haven't been good defensively, and vice versa. And really, when you're talking about it now, based on where this offense is, and it's very much so a top 10 offense in the NFL, I don't expect that to deviate. It could actually get better. Where it stands now is they just need to get some better play on defense. And I think the talent is there for that to happen. And I think the right coach is in place for that to happen. I like what the Raiders did along the defensive line. Unique Ngakoue is the headline of that, no question about it. But I think the Raiders also understood the importance of building quality depth. Doesn't have to be a bunch of all-stars, a bunch of Pro Bowl players, but just guys that you can count on when they're on the field to deliver efficient snaps, period. And I think that they believe that they've done that, bringing in Quentin Jefferson and Darius Filon and Solomon Thomas, Unique Ngakoue, bringing back Jonathan Hankins. Go look at the numbers. Jonathan Hankins played well last year. He played good enough football. You're not going to always have a Pro Bowl player at every position. It's not possible to do that, obviously. But just be somebody that you can be counted on, that the team can count on you. And I think Jonathan Hankins is a guy that you can count on Jonathan Hankins to play well. You throw in Clee Farrell, who I think continues to get better as a football player. He had a solid year last year, more than solid. And when he was right, before injuries, before COVID-19, he was really right. He was playing really well. I know it wasn't expressed in big flashy sacks and that type of thing, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he was playing good, solid football. He can be a defensive lineman on a championship team. That's the truth of the matter. He was in college. He can be in the NFL. Now, what I like with what the Raiders did in the draft and in free agency, now you can get creative with Clee Farrell being somebody that you can count on the early downs as a decent enough pass rusher, but also somebody that's going to be a anchor against the run. And on known passing downs, your third downs, your second and longs, that type of thing, there's the potential that he could get kicked inside, in which you have Unique Ngakoue on one end, Max Crosby on the other, Clee Farrell somewhere in the interior, a Solomon Thomas, a Darius Filon, and Jonathan Hankins inside. Trying to get the best combination of pass rushers on the field in those kind of situations. And I think Clee, because of his strength, because of his size, he's a big man, his athleticism, I think in the right kind of a situation with good players around him, especially when he kicks inside, can do damage. So, you know, when you talk about the defensive line getting better, and I think the linebackers are, I think the top three linebackers are going to surprise some people. I think Corey Littleton, Nick Wachowski, Nicholas Morrow are going to surprise some people. Putting a Jonathan Abram in more advantageous position to do what he does best, playing him as that box safety, closer to the line of scrimmage, being a factor in the run game where he could bring the thump in the run game, also be activated as a pass rusher on in blitz packages. Not asking him to cover large portions of the field in pass coverage. That's not his game. That's not his game. How many times have I talked about when I was covering the Rams and Marcus Peters comes over in a trade? And everyone kind of assumed Marcus Peters, oh, he has all these interceptions. Oh, he's a lockdown cornerback, a man-to-man lockdown quarterback, perfect for the defensive coordinators. Wade Phillips is 3-4 defense where you need, you know, lockdown cornerbacks on the outside so that you can blitz and send you know, an extra guy on your pass rush. You need guys to lock it up on the outside. Marcus Peters, look at all those interceptions. That's what he does. Well, that's not what he actually did. He wasn't a man-to-man lockdown kind of a cornerback. He's actually better in zone where he's playing off the quarterback, reading his eyes, jumping routes as a result. That's what makes him good at what he does. If you're asking him to be a lockdown man cornerback, That's not his strength, and it's going to show. And guess what? It showed. He was terrible, terrible for the first half of that 2019 season. Terrible. Excuse me, 2018. And it all kind of culminated where he got caught out of position, got burnt. I think it was Michael Thomas from the Saints on a game-winning touchdown pass from Drew Brees to Michael Thomas. The Rams had come back in that game. It was a crazy game. At the midway point, two 8-0 teams. And Marcus Peters basically blew the game. And I remember, you know, going, I gave him so much credit in the locker room, Superdome, manning up, owning up, accountability. But behind the scenes, Wade Phillips and Aubrey Pleasant, their defensive backs coach, were like, you know, we're asking this guy to do something that he's not, it's not his strength. We're doing him wrong right now. It's not his fault. That's not his game. It's our fault for putting him in that position. So they completely blew it up on the back end. And they put Marcus Peters in a position to do what he does best as sort of a zone coverage guy, keeping his eye on the quarterback, not having to turn and run with wide receivers and have his play, you know, with his back to the quarterback. That's not his game. If you look at the second half of that season, Marcus Peters turned it around. It wasn't because he became a better player. It was because Wade Phillips and the secondary coach said, we're going to put him in better positions. That's on us, not on him. Marcus Peters turned it around. The Rams defense turned it around. They went to the Super Bowl. They went back to New Orleans and won in the NFC Championship game to beat the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. It's kind of the same thing with the Jonathan Abram. Yeah, he was bad last year, but you can also make the case that he was being asked to do some things that aren't in his wheelhouse. And if you're doing that as a coach, sometimes you look, no question, there's sometimes because of where you are from a talent standpoint, sometimes you're going to have to just make do and ask guys, you're going to have to try to do this as best you can. I understand that it's not your strength, but we don't have anybody else to do this. And this is what we're going to do. And, you know, and you just have to make the best of it. But there's other times where there's other options and there's other ways to do it. And there's, you know, and that becomes part of coaching and understanding like, okay, he can't do this. We're asking him to do something that he's not very good at. And he keeps getting burnt and he's out there taking all the blame for it. When in reality, that's, some of that is on us as coaches. Now, it's obviously on Jonathan Abram at this point, now that Gus Bradley has come in here and it looks like what they're going to do with him is put him in that box safety position where, you know, instead of covering large portions of the field, it's shorter in kind of zone coverage, closer to the line of scrimmage, not as wide open areas, to cut down on him being a pass defender, a pass coverage guy. He's also not having to go long distances to go make tackles from the back end, which that's where tackling angles come into play. Some guys are good at it. Some guys aren't good at it. That's just the fact of the matter. So you put him closer to the line of scrimmage where even that gets cut down. He can be more sideline to sideline rather than coming from the back end and chasing something down on an angle. That should help him because that's the strength of his game. Now, it's on him. The coaches are saying, look, this is what you do well. We could see that on tape. Now it's on you to take it from there. If he does, game changer for Jonathan Abram. All of a sudden, he might be in the plans here for the long haul. If he can't, it's probably time to go find somebody else. That's how it works. But it won't be because, you know, he's being asked to do something that he's not capable of doing or what, you know, playing to his weaknesses rather than his strengths. He's just got to show now that he can do it because this is the type of player that he is. This is how he profiles. This is what his skill set is built for. So this defense, you know, on a whole, when you look at it, and we've been talking about it all show long, this season – is basically going to come down to, can this defense be better, period. You can go through all the, is Derek Carr this, is Derek Carr that. Yes, Derek Carr is fully capable with a good enough defense and offensive personnel around him, NFL caliber offense around him, to get his team not just to the playoffs, but pretty far after. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo take a team to the Super Bowl. We've seen Jared Goff get his team to the Super Bowl. If those guys can do that, so can Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that Derek Carr, well, he definitely played last year better than Jared Goff, period. We'll see if Jared could get back on track. And if so, then I think they're fairly comparable. They don't do things exactly the same. But in their own way, they're kind of comparable to each other in terms of the numbers and what they can do for their team. Jared Goff got his team to the Super Bowl. What were they, 13-3 that year? Went to New Orleans, loudest place on the planet probably, in the NFL planet. Took charge of that huddle. I think they were down 10-0, 13-0, something like that. And I remember going to, I always love talking to offensive linemen after the game. They're going to give it to you straight. They're usually really smart and frank and honest and, you know, kind of, you know, no BS, all that. They'll cut right to the chase. And I just remember talking to Rob Havenstein, Rams right tackle. I was like, how was Jared when you guys were down 13-0? He read him the riot act. That's what he did in the huddle. Shut up. He was like screaming at him. Everybody shut up, because, you know, sometimes it could get chaotic in the huddle, when, especially when things aren't going right and you can't hear the guy next to you. And he just set him straight, and everybody followed. And I go, what was the reaction? Everyone was like, okay, cool. We got you. All right, we're following you. Derek Carr is as fiery and as good of a leader as any quarterback out there. Do not ever, 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 ever underestimate that. Yeah, he threw it out of bounds on a fourth down play or whatever it was. I mean, all right, you know, was it the best? No, I'm sure he'd rather have that back. What are you going to do? But we can sit here and talk about all that. Derek Carr is a good enough quarterback to get your team to the playoffs and get your team beyond that. Lesser quarterbacks have gotten their teams to those points, period. As we sit here today and as we move forward to training camp and then into the regular season, it's all about where this defense is. I think it's got to be better. The question is how much, and is it sufficient enough to complement this offense? You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila and Vodka.
We're back in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
You know what? It's similar, that youth, you know, and that the questions, and you're putting a system in for the first time, and watching guys kind of, you'll do the techniques, but within their own personality. And that's what we're hoping. Right now, we're still in that learning phase. Is it a buzz technique? Is it a hook technique? You know, they're learning that terminology. But I can see definitely as we get into mini camp now, guys are starting to take on personalities with the defense. So to each their own, you know, I'm sure they'll, that's why I say I think we're all looking forward to training camp. We've got, almost 2,000 reps, I think, you know, through these walkthroughs and splitting up groups, and that's invaluable. But there's nothing like practice when you're going full speed. And, we'll see how some of these young guys come along.
Defensive coordinator Gus Bradley talking at the conclusion of minicamp a couple weeks ago, 2,000 reps he was talking about. By the way, you're in the huddle, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. You know what the Raiders didn't have last year? They didn't have 2,000 reps defensively prior to heading to training camp. That's what, when we talk about the importance of OTAs, I know not every veteran player needs them. We get it, understand that it's true. But from a team perspective, especially a young team, especially a team with a new defensive coordinator, especially for a team that defense was a liability and not a strength. Let's just be honest about the situation last year. A defense that wants to get it right. I don't believe for a second that there isn't one guy on that defense in that Raiders locker room that doesn't want to get this thing right. I'm not going to sit here and say they're ashamed of what happened last year. It's not that serious. But it didn't sit well with them, and they heard the criticism. And now more than ever, today more than ever, criticism is right up in your face. It's not just hearing it at the stadium sometimes. It's not just putting on talk radio like you would back in the day and hearing it from callers, you know, screaming onto the radio if you've done bad. That was bad enough if you were playing bad. Or columnists ripping you. Guys on TV, sportscasters getting after you. That was one thing, and, you know, that's not fun. Nobody enjoys that. But nowadays, just when you go on social media, it's not just in your face, it's in your lap, it's all up in your grill. And sometimes it's not pretty. You know, sometimes it's not cool. You get it from all sides, and people have nowadays an opinion and the means to express that opinion. And if you're not playing up to standards, you're going to hear about it. You don't think that the Raiders defense didn't hear about it? I know that they did. I've talked to players that were kind of pissed off about some of that, to be honest with you. And it's funny because some of the players that I talked to were offensive players who were hearing it about their teammates on defense. And you know, what stuck with them was this. And this is why I think the Raiders have a good chance of getting this thing turned around. You know, players on offense that were hearing and seeing things being said about their teammates on defense are like, Vinny, you don't understand how hard these guys work. I'm in there with them in the building. I know how much they care. I know how much they want to get better. I know the work that they put into this. They've got that going for them. They've got the care, the concern, the professionalism, the want to, the work ethic. Now it just needs to come together, you know, in a lot of different ways, obviously. Guys just getting better, guys settling down, coaching being better. But I think that the care factor is there, and that is an important part of this whole equation. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Madro is on the line, wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Madro?
I'm doing great, Vinny. Yourself?
I'm doing really good, thank you.
You know, I know I've talked about some of this stuff before, but it's only one comment, and it's about the Raiders personnel this year and the team in general. And granted, I don't have the privilege anymore of being on the field and actually watching, where you can pick up, you know, a lot of things just by if you know what you're looking for. But I do take the time, and I've gleaned a lot of information about a lot of these players and a lot of what's gone on in mini camps and OTAs. And you know what? This is the first time in years, and I do mean in a lot of years, that the Raiders' biggest problem at the end of camp is going to be who to cut. They're actually got players and a bunch of them, and the competition is going to be strong at every position group. And that hasn't happened in a long, long time. And that's how I feel about this team. I think it's that close to being that good, and they've got depth. It's just going to be very difficult for, you know, when they go to make their final cuts, I don't think they've even had to give it much thought at all. Now, it's going to be a real difficult year because they're going to have to give up some talent.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Madro, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the notion that the Raiders have been wasting their time these last couple of years, these last few years under John Gruden is complete and utter nonsense. It's not worked out, like, in terms of the wins, as everyone would hope? Everyone wants things to happen right now. But that doesn't mean, because they've fallen short, that good work hasn't been put into this thing and that time has been wasted. It hasn't been. They're moving in the right direction. And it's the same thing I feel with Derek Carr. I don't think these last few years have been a waste, not for him. He's gotten better, and I think that the talent that's being put around him has gotten better. I agree with you. You can see it watching at practice that the talent level from this year compared to last year has been elevated. I thought the talent level, frankly, had improved from 2019. The 2019 team that I saw when I came aboard covering the Raiders in late November, the talent of that team compared to what the talent of last year was, it was different. It was better last year than it was in 2019. That's why they won one more game. That's why they should have won at least 10, probably 11 games last year, because the talent was better, especially offensively. I also think the talent was better defensively, but it just wasn't where it needed to be on a talent level. I think that they needed help along the defensive line. They understood that. I think they needed some veterans leadership in the secondary. I think they needed, obviously, to figure out something, a better player or two at free safety. But that's what the offseason is for. Sometimes you can't get to every single problem every single offseason. Sometimes you have to wait. Money. You only have a certain amount of draft picks. You only have a certain amount of money to spend in free agency. You can't solve all your problems overnight or in one offseason. And that's my point about these last 4 years. I don't think it's been a waste of time whatsoever, because all you have to do is look at the roster and see, this is a pretty darn good roster. I know that maybe nationally it's hard to see that, and I understand that, and I get that, and I think the Raiders understand that as well. But if you look at where they are offensively, I mean, it could be your backups are at wide receiver. John Brown, Willie Snead, two proven commodities, are your backups potentially. Or, you know, they're in the mix with Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards and Hunter Renfrow. When you start talking about the wide receivers, Hunter Renfrow, Bryan Edwards, if they take steps forward, which they should, Willie Snead, John Brown, Hunter Renfrow, that's not bad. Those are pretty good wide receivers. That's a good group of wide receivers. And with Derek Carr as the quarterback, he'll be able to figure out ways to tap into all of those guys. Darren Waller, obviously a good player. Josh Jacobs is a good running back. Kenyon Drake is a good weapon alongside him as a runner, as a pass catcher. You start looking at the defense, and Yannick Ngakoue is better than anybody that the Raiders had last year at defensive end. Max Crosby looks like he's gotten a lot of things in order, and his body looks tremendous, and he was flying around in OTAs. Cleve Farrell, Casey Hayward is going to be an upgrade. Trayvon Morgz should be an upgrade. Corey Littleton, Nick Wachowski, you know, you start naming all, and there's talent here. There's definitely talent here. And it's been accumulated. It's been growing, and it's been a process to get it to this point. But time hasn't been wasted. And I think, as Madro said, because, you know, he's been watching the Raiders longer than I have, for the first time in forever, he feels like, you know what? There's not going to be any gimmies on this roster. There's not going to be any, I guess we got to give it to this guy because the other guy is just not that good. There's going to be good players that are cut, good players that, you know, either get moved out of their position or become reserves. There's going to be good depth, decent depth. I think I'm still a little concerned about the linebacker position. I think the potential is there behind, you know, the three starters, but it's untested. Bringing in Darren Lee, I think, helps a little bit. But, you know, Divine Diablo, Tanner Muse, Javon White, between the three of them, I think that's like 57 snaps. Most of them have been on, were on special teams with White. So it's untested. But I think there's potential there. I think this is a better team, and I think it's a better defense. The question is, as we've been asking all day today, how much better? And is it ready to finally be a viable complement to what's going on the offensive side of the ball, which is a top 10-ish offense. I want to say thanks to Q Myers, our new teammate here at Raider Nation Radio. Thanks for jumping on board, coming into the huddle. I want to say thanks to Les Kekahuna from Embajador Tequila for spending some time with us, as he does on a weekly basis. I want to thank all the callers. Thanks for bringing it. Always appreciate it. I want to thank Damon Cotton back at home base, making us sound good. Thanks to the hospitality here at Raiders headquarters. What a beautiful place this is. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We'll be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignor, Tequila Embajador. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.